Merry Christmas. You know, that says it all, doesn't it? That's a profoundly telling statement, isn't it? Hey, by the way, Merry Christmas. Did you ever wonder what message you're sending to others during this Christmas season? What are you saying to others in the way that you're celebrating Christmas this year? What values are you communicating to your neighbors, your family and friends, your children or grandchildren in the way that you do Christmas? I mean, we can't miss Christmas in America. 97% of us say that we celebrate Christmas, and we do Christmas big, don't we? We do Christmas big in America. We'd all like to believe the message, that the message that we send to others this Christmas is, I love you. Or even more hopefully, the message that God loves you. Have you ever evaluated your lifestyle at Christmas and taken a look at how you celebrate it just to really, really see if the way you celebrate that does say, I love you, or God loves you? You see, let me ask you this question. What message did this family of strategic shoppers, what kind of message did they convey to the other shoppers about how they see Christmas? How about what Christmas is all about? Who can tell me? All about them? Materialistic? Anything else?
I don't matter.
Okay. Others don't matter, or I don't matter? Anything else? Good. Stuff? Yeah. I think that they show that we love stuff, don't they? And I think that the unintended but crystal clear message that we send to our friends and our neighbors, and that our Christian nation sends to the world at Christmas, is just that message. We love stuff! We love stuff in America. Don't believe me? Look at the numbers. Inside your program, you can grab the pink insert. This is Jubilate Sunday. It's the third Sunday in Advent. It's a Sunday whose meaning is joy and celebration. And we celebrate in America, don't we? Look at all the expenditures that we do. Man, the average American will spend $832 holiday-related shopping. About $500 on gifts, $119 on other purchases. You know, we take advantage of the sales and get stuff we need, and really doesn't have something to do with Christmas. $94 on friends, $91 on food, $51 on decorations, $31 million Christmas trees bought. That's amazing, isn't it? $91 on food with an average weight gain of about a pound. And we don't take it off. $51 on holiday decorations, $26 on coworkers, $43 on other gifts, $32 on cards and postage. You know how many cards we're going to send out this Christmas season? 2 billion. That's a lot of cards, man. Huh? Hallmark loves us at this season. And $22 on flowers for a whopping total of $470 million. That's $5 billion. $470 billion. $5 billion less than last year. We spent $10.7 billion on Black Friday alone. Isn't that amazing? Black Friday is Green Friday. Okay? Let me put that into perspective. Here's the perspective. $10 billion is enough to give the entire world access to clean water. To get that to the places that don't have it yet. So I'm just putting it into perspective for you, okay? That's all I want to do. And this Friday, this Black Friday this year cost us over $10 billion. And 3 lives. One crushed under a door by Walmart bargain hunters in Long Island. Jimbo DeMore, whose name means love. 275-pound guy, 34 years old. He's no old guy. This is a young, healthy guy. And two who shot each other in California at a Toys R Us after the gals they were shopping with got in a fist fight over a toy. Gosh, that's insane. Isn't that insane? You see, all this stuff, man, I think all the getting, the doing, I think that's what's stressing us out. And sometimes making us miserable at what should be a joyful time of year. I think it's also deceiving us. Deceiving us and those who watch our lives about what's really important. I mean, Jesus warns us about paying too much attention to stuff. He says this. He says, be on guard against all kind of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Life's not all about stuff. That's what Jesus said. Now really, I wonder, gets me thinking, I wonder what would God say to us? I mean, what does God think about all of our getting and giving this season? Our over busyness with doing. I mean, if God, in one word, could give us a piece of advice for Christmas, what do you think He would be? One word, one piece of advice, what would God tell us to do? What do you think? Think, chill out, prevent, stop, love. Pardon me? Not one word. I'm looking for one word. Focus. Anything else? Listen, if God in one word were to give us advice on how to correct this season, to recover its richness and its real meaning, it would be this word, I think. Simplify. Simplify. And that's what this series, Simply Christmas, is all about. We just want to revisit the core. What Christmas and what Christianity is really all about. And it's not all about stuff. In fact, Christmas is simply about getting Jesus. And you can write that down in your outline. Simply about getting Jesus. But like the baby that got buried under the guests' coats at his own christening celebration, Jesus sometimes gets buried under all of our stuff, all of our to-dos, all of our gotta-gets, all of our gotta-bes, gotta be here, gotta be there. Do you know what I mean? Jesus gets buried. He gets tossed aside by our to-dos and gets ignored in our indulgence. But real Christmas is simply about getting Jesus, isn't it? That's the message. That's the meaning. Let's look back at that first Christmas for a very clear picture of what's central to this holiday. Would you look with me in Luke chapter 2? If you got a Bible in front of you in a rack, you can grab that blue Bible out and you can turn to around page 725. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke is the third gospel in the New Testament. Luke chapter 2, the Jesus story, his story of his infancy is found in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. And John has a take on Christmas in John chapter 1. So if you want to look at the Christmas story from John's cosmic perspective or from Luke or Matthew's Jewish perspective, Luke's very personal, kind of Mary's perspective, that's where you want to go. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. And start with like verse 8. And I've got it on your outline if you don't have a Bible in front of you that we refer to. It says in Luke chapter 2, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. And they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I'd be petrified too, wouldn't you? Talk about Christmas lights. But I like one on my tree, but I'm not sure if I want to meet one in person. That'd be pretty intimidating. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom His favor rests. The good news that Christmas shows is this, and you can fill that in. Christmas shows that, number one, God loves you. God loves you. God is for you. And God is with you. Those are three great messages that Christmas show us. God loves you, God is for you, and God is with you. Christmas is a season of celebration, and those are the things that ultimately we need to be celebrating, because they're the most important things out there. God, through Jesus, He loves you. I love what Jesus said. John chapter 3 and verse 16. It's God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, Christmas shows that God loves you. That's why God created you. He created you to love you. What's more profound is the truth revealed by the Apostle Paul. And it's this. It's on your screen. Long before He laid the earth's foundations, He had us in mind. God had you in mind. And He had settled on us as the focus of His love. Wow. God's love is the reason you're living and breathing right now. It's the reason you're surrounded by this incredible universe. God's love is the entire reason for Christmas. God loves you. And Jesus is proof. Paul writes, God demonstrates His love to us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, Christmas shows that God is for you. Christ died for us. At Christmas, God through Jesus, He came for you. And on the cross, He died for you. And in between those 33 years, He lived for you. Good news for great joy for all people. No matter who you are, no matter where you came from, no matter how much bad you've done or how much you've screwed up, in Christ, God is for you. He lived for you. He died for you. And I love what Paul says. Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Since He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? The Apostle Paul, he asks that. And because God is for you, listen, you and I, we can live with confidence. Confidence in God's love. Confidence in God's forgiveness. Confidence in God's acceptance. You see, if you're confident that the God who created and sustains the universe is for you, man, you can face any foe, can't you? You certainly can face the formidable foes of prospect of a layoff or a job loss. You can face an unwanted divorce. You can face even a death. You can certainly face others' rejection or even abandonment. Through Jesus, God is for you. Christmas shows that God loves you, that God is for you. A Savior is born to you. Now this shows in that first Christmas that God is also with you. He's born to us, isn't He? This is what John says. John says in his account, John chapter 1, that Jesus came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, but even they, the Jews, rejected Him. But to all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They're reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made His home among us. I love how the message says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that great? Moved into the neighborhood, made his home amongst us. He was full, full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Listen, God is with you. He made his home among us, and he makes his home in you if you will open your heart to him. You can be at peace with God, reconciled with nothing between you. It's been said, no Jesus, no peace. And we see that all around us. People without Jesus who don't have peace. It's also been said that if you know Jesus, then you know peace. Know Jesus, no peace. Know Jesus, and you know peace. Peace on earth. That was the announcement. Let's look back at Luke chapter 2 right now. We're going to go back and revisit verse 15. Verse 15, it's on the flip side of your outline, or it's in your Bible there. I'm going to read this. It says that when the angels, and we're going to take a look at this real quickly. It's a lesson that a bunch of blue-collar guys working a third shift out on the back 40, the boonies, the sticks, what they learned, because God came to them. It says, when the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and a baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Wow. Isn't that cool? But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Listen, I want to look at three important life lessons from this first Christmas. Things that you can apply to your life right here and now that'll restore richness to it, that'll restore some sanity to it, that'll help you to make the most of it. And hopefully help you to get your joy out of it. The first thing, lesson we learn is this. Discover Jesus. Discover Jesus. These guys dropped what they were doing, didn't they? Think about that. They walked off the job in order to go check this out. Now, we don't know if it was a little hike. We don't know how long it took them. It might have taken them the rest of their shift. We don't know. But they dropped what they were doing. They dropped everything to go and discover this Savior whom God had sent. The question is, why don't we drop everything in America today? Why don't we drop everything to discover Jesus? Discover Him for the first time or discover more deeply? I think here, I want to show you a clip that I think shows the reason, captured the reason pretty well.
Not all Christmas gifts are created equal. I mean, some people look at gift wrapping as a work of art, while others take more of an abstract approach. I mean, you have your gifts that are more for the giver than the receiver. Yeah. You've got your gifts that have size issues, then those that have date issues. Then you have those gifts that just don't match anything, or just don't even match. Sometimes I get one of those presents that just really isn't my style. Groovy. Then, oh yeah, once in a while I get one that's just right. But then there's that one gift that comes every Christmas. It isn't as easily recognizable as the other presents. It gets lost in the color and frenzy of Christmas Day. I mean, while other presents are just torn apart, this one just kind of sits alone and still. Sometimes I forget to open it all together. I mean, really, only remembering to open it after Christmas Day has already passed. Sometimes I just, you know, kind of take a peek and then set it aside with plans of opening it later. But deep down inside, and in spite of how I treat it, I know that this is the most important gift of them all.
God's Christmas gift didn't come in a big or eye-catching box with fancy wrapping paper or with a lot of bells and whistles. No, God wrapped himself in a plain brown shell wrapper, just like you and I, didn't he? Plain brown one. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. But this gift was so important that heaven partied when it was given. You see, this was the long anticipated Savior that these shepherds and their ancestors had waited almost 1,500 years for. And when the angel said today in the town of David, a Savior's been born to you, he's Christ the Lord. They didn't care what the package looked like. An infant wrapped in swaddling cloths. They were confident that this gift would become and would do as their prophet Isaiah declared. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. Now, we've seen the hype that's been generated about President-elect Obama in just over 2 years, but they had been waiting for this promised Messiah for some 1,500. So you could see why they dropped everything and went and checked that out. They knew that the greatest gift that would be we ever be given, and they knew that the most precious gift you could get was coming. And that's what Jesus is. Jesus is the greatest gift that's ever been given. He's the most precious gift that you could ever get for these three reasons. Number one, he's the most expensive gift ever given, isn't he? It cost him his life. Secondly, Jesus is the only gift that will last forever. How many of you like have gifts and they get worn out, right? Some of those even break the very same day, don't they? My boys pound on him pretty hard, man. We've had that happen. But Jesus is a gift that'll last forever. And thirdly, Jesus is the most practical gift you can get. You can use that gift every day for the rest of your life. Wow. Think about it. If this invaluable, irreplaceable, one-of-a-lifetime gift is available to receive, what's preventing me from this? I want you to ask yourself that. What's preventing me from this if you are not yet a Christ follower? If you've not yet committed your life to Him, I just want to ask you, what's preventing you from it? I don't know. Is it fear, doubt, guilt, selfishness, self-sufficiency, independence, ignorance, pride, guilt, procrastination? Whatever it is, I want you to know that you are cheating yourself out of once in a lifetime. No, once in an eternity gift. Once in a forever gift. God gave us life, John says, and that life is in His Son. So whoever has the Son has life. Whoever rejects the Son rejects life. Listen, I think it's time that you push through those barriers and obstacles and delays, whatever they are, and settle your destiny. Settle it today. Settle it for this Christmas. Receive God's gift. Respond to His invitation. As He says in Revelation, look, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open the door to your heart and you let me in, I'll come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Wow, the gift of God's friendship through Jesus. Man, that's a once in a forever gift. So I just want to give you an opportunity right now. If you've not done that, I want to challenge you to do that. Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. It's first and foremost a relationship with Jesus Christ through faith and characterized by obedience. And it starts off by admitting your flaws and faults and failures and quit pretending with God. And trusting what Jesus has done for you and who He is. That He's God's sinless Son. That He died to pay the penalty for your flaws, faults and failures. And to accept His leadership in your life. I just want to give you an opportunity to pray that right now. Make that commitment. Something along these lines. Jesus, today I recognize that You are the Savior of the world. That's what the angel announced. That's what the shepherds believe. Today I choose to believe that. And I also admit that I need a Savior. I need someone to save me from my flaws, my faults, my failures, myself. And I'm sorry for what I've done that hasn't pleased God. I ask for your forgiveness. And I thank you for forgiving me. I also invite you to come in and be Christ the Lord, the leader of my life. And I declare my intention to follow you, to follow your example, and to listen to what you have to say every day for the rest of my life, and to stick close with you by talking with you and by listening to you. Amen. Now, if you've done that, you know what? You've moved from death to life. You've begun a whole new dimension of living. A simple decision starts that. And I want you to know that you're on your way now toward becoming what God has always created you to be. A Christ follower, somebody with an eternal future with God. If you've done that, on the back of your Discover card, just let us know you've made that decision. If you're not, if you're considering that, let me know. I'm considering trusting in Christ. You know what? We'll follow up with you. We'll coach you. We'll collect this right after this message. Now, for those of you who have received this gift of Jesus, it's time you asked yourself. I think you're off the hook, didn't you? It's time you asked yourself, what's distracting me from this? What's distracting me from this great Christmas gift? What's keeping me from developing a deeper relationship every day? You see, enjoying God's gift to its fullest, that's what it's all about, isn't it? What keeps us from that? It's stuff. Come on, let's be honest about it. It's stuff. Stuff you got to do, stuff you got to get, stuff that comes up. You know, Jesus said, He said, the seed that fell among thorns are stand but for those who hear. They hear God's message, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. Listen, stuff stunts you. Write it down. What's distracting me from Jesus? What is it about the ways that I celebrate Christmas that distract me from Jesus? We need to follow the example of the shepherds. What do? They dropped what they were doing and made a beeline to discover Jesus. That's our mission. We want to be a center of spiritual discovery and development and demonstration. We want people to discover Jesus. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's intended to be an everyday thing. An everyday thing. God has a wonderful plan for your future. And what He wants you to do is He wants you to discover this unfolding plan. He wants you to use His gift. What are you doing with that wonderful gift of Jesus? Is it pushed to the back of the, underneath of the tree of your life? I don't know. Or are you making use of that wonderful gift every day? That's what God desires. Lessons from this first Christmas. Discover Jesus. The second one, treasure Jesus. These shepherds treasured God's truth, right? They celebrated, man. They checked it out. Mary treasured God's gift in her heart. Jesus says that where your treasure is, your heart is. Your passion, your focus, and your determination will be. They'll be what you're treasuring. And He warns you not to store up treasures in heaven, doesn't He? Where's America's treasure? I think it's in our stuff. You see, last year we spent $475 billion on Christmas in about a 40-50-day period. We gave about $306 billion to charities the entire year. Of that, we gave about $102 billion to churches. I think it shows you where our heart's at. What do you think? Money doesn't lie. People say that if you really want to see what you believe in, take a look at your wallet, take a look at your planner. How you spend your money, how you spend your time. What message are you sending in the way you spend your money and the way you spend your time? You need to ask yourself, what's competing for my love? You see, stuff stunts. Stuff also steals. It steals your love for God. It starves your relationship with God, because stuff is seductive, isn't it? Stuff feels good right now, doesn't it? What stuff are you filling your heart and your life with that's stealing from the richest of your relationship with Jesus? That's robbing you Take Paul's advice. Paul says, Christ's love is greater than anyone can know, can ever know, but I pray that you'll be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the fullness of God. Start filling yourself with the right thing. Nothing else will ultimately be satisfying. Discover Jesus. Treasure Jesus. A third lesson we can learn from Mary and the shepherds is this. Share Jesus. When these shepherds had discovered Jesus, what did they do? They went back and told everybody. They were blabbermouths, right? I mean, they were contagious. They simply could not contain themselves. It says that they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And everybody was amazed. They were amazed. And let me ask yourself, if these uneducated, if these simple shepherds could speak out and express their excitement to others and their thankfulness to God, why don't we? I think it goes back to our focus. You see, stuff stunts. Stuff starves. And sometimes stuff silences us, doesn't it? It does. What's keeping me? What's keeping you from sharing about Christ the Savior? Like you and I share about our gifts. Right? I mean, we gladly brag about, hey, I got this. What'd you get? You know? And yet we're often silent, completely silent about the most important thing. Jesus. What keeps you from sharing the good news about the Savior like you share about Christmas sales or telling others about the gift you got? Is it because you don't value God's gift? Or maybe you value your stuff more? I don't know. Why are we more afraid to brag about Jesus than to brag about our gifts and our gear? It doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, all that stuff, all the stuff we're going to buy and get, it doesn't mean squat without a Savior, does it? Doesn't mean squat. So let me ask you, when people look at your life, what does it say? Does your life say, get, and by the way, Merry Christmas? Or does your life say, get Jesus? Jesus is the way. Merry Christmas. Which one do you want your life to say? By the way, Merry Christmas? Or Jesus is the way? Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as our Savior. We thank you for giving this incredibly expensive gift that cost him his life. We thank you, Father God, that for giving us this incredibly practical gift, invaluable gift. And Father God, forgive us for neglecting your gift. Forgive us for refusing your gift, ignoring your gift. Father God, we just pray and ask that you would help us, show us how we can simplify our lives this Christmas and Christmases to come, so that we can recapture the real meaning and the richness of what you want this season to be, of course, and what you want our life to be. With your Son, help us to celebrate simply Christmas, we pray. Amen. Got a closing song, and we'll collect your Discover cards right now, and then we'll button it up.